Jack Smith was a multimedia artist before that term became common. He shot photographs, made films and collages, and costumes that he wore in his performances. Smith was popular among artists. Andy Warhol called him a major influence. Federico Fellini was a fan. But Smith was never a financial success. And when he died of AIDS in 1989, he was broke and his work was in shambles. After his death, friends and admirers set up a foundation to preserve Jack Smith's art and to present it to the public. And now, as David Darcy reports, the family that all but abandoned Smith wants that art back.
Jack Smith is most famous for the 1962 film Flaming Creatures. Critics defined it in different ways, as a Lower East Side home movie, an orgy of nude bodies, a parody of Hollywood Babylon, or a triumph of no-budget filmmaking.
Alibaba comes today.
Village Voice film critic Jay Holberman says Smith shot it like he did everything else, the cheapest possible way.
Flaming Creatures was shot on Army surplus, outdated film stock. The cheapest film stock available from the discard bins. And that was part of the aesthetic, certainly. In fact, when the film was shown again at Lincoln Center, some people were, they attacked it and said, what a terrible restoration job. Because, you know, they had no idea that that's what the film looked like. And in fact, that's part of its greatness. I mean, that's one of the reasons why it's so radical. It didn't look like anything else anybody had ever done.
The sexuality of Flaming Creatures was so brazen that it was banned in Manhattan and the Bronx, and people who showed it in theaters were jailed. The art world has caught up with Jack Smith. Three galleries in New York showed his work this past fall. Young artists are calling him an early proponent of what's now called queer culture. Steve Clay of Granary Books in New York just published a facsimile edition of The Beautiful Book, a volume of mostly nude photographs that Smith assembled by hand in 1962.
Why were three galleries interested in this work? It looks completely fresh. It looks unique. It looks original. It looks so interesting, and it's 35 years old. There have been any number of people who've attempted to work in a realm similar to Jack Smith, but he does it best himself, and the photographs are a place where it's quite vividly presented.
The legal world has also caught up with Smith. On January 31st, the surrogate court in Manhattan approved a petition by Smith's sister and nephew to recover the archive of Smith's work that was crammed into his apartment when he died. The ruling went against the Plaster Foundation, an organization named for Smith's performance space and created to preserve what he left. The foundation's lawyer, Mary Dorman, says Smith's friends literally saved his art from the trash. At the time, she says, his sister, Mary Sue Slater, came to New York, picked up jewelry, a table, and negotiable bonds, and abandoned everything else. In papers filed with the court, Dorman argued that, in doing so, the family gave up any right to the art.
Abandonment, it's a concept in personal property and real property, and it's where the owner abandons the property or indicates clearly an intent not to exercise any dominion over it presently or in the future. A couch on the sidewalk, slated for the sanitation department to pick up. A car with the license plates off by the side of the road. You know, these are indications of people who intend to abandon property. That's what happened here.
There have been many cases of artists dying young without a will, and Dorman says the family tends to take charge immediately, especially if the art has value. On his deathbed, Jack Smith was raving. He told performance artist Penny Arcade, who was taking care of him, to burn everything.
There was a will, and this will floated around his room for the 2 weeks before he died, and he did not want to sign it. And I believe, knowing him, that he equated signing with dying.
Once Smith died, preservation became the most pressing issue.
It was papers all over the floor, cat pee all over everything. It hadn't been cleaned in a couple of years. He'd been ill and weak for a couple of years. He was sleeping in a pile of blankets on the floor.
Arcade, along with critic Jay Holberman, arranged to store the fragments Smith left behind. They tried and failed to turn his apartment into a museum. Most of the murals Smith painted on the walls there were lost. Arcade and Holberman arranged to have Flaming Creatures restored. It took 5 years. In the nearly 15 years since Smith's death, the Plaster Foundation has loaned works in its possession for a retrospective at PS1 and to the recent New York gallery shows. According to court documents, Smith's family went for more than a decade without responding to letters from Penny Arcade, Jay Hoberman, or the Plaster Foundation. This fall, the foundation learned of the petition by the family to take possession of all the work Smith left behind. The family, which lives in Texas, has not responded to interview requests, but in a sworn affidavit, Smith's sister, Mary Sue Slater, said she avoided her brother because her husband feared their son might be tainted by Smith's homosexuality. The family is cooperating with a documentary film that's being shot called You Don't Know Jack. Filmmaker Mary Jordan says she has evidence of a friendlier relationship between Smith and his family.
The letters between him and his family, letters that have never been seen, that really show a very interesting relationship between his mother and his sister that has been quite clouded into something else and was a lot more than people know about.
At the Plaster Foundation, Penny Arcade says those letters between Smith and his mother are from the 1960s, decades before the artist died without any family present. Publisher Steve Clay says if it hadn't been for the Plaster Foundation, there wouldn't be much left to remind people why Smith's work might have value.
To a large degree, they have been the motivating force for a lot of the interest. The curating of the show at PS1, that's a very important occasion to keep the legacy of Jack Smith alive. So I think that their work is crucial to the whole notion of making this work visible, keeping it visible and keeping it in the debate.
The debate over the future of Jack Smith's work is not over. The Plaster Foundation is appealing the surrogate court's ruling in favor of the family. Critic Jay Hoberman is concerned that his work preserving Smith's legacy will be lost, that the work of the artist once considered a threat will be sold off as objects made by a celebrity.
Any kind of celebrity is naturally equated with money. The idea that there could be an artist like Jack Smith, a famous artist who died impoverished and in squalor is, I think, for many people inconceivable. He's famous. It has to be worth something. This stuff has to be valuable. And I think that that's behind certainly some of the interest in it. I mean, that kind of an art world find, a famous dead artist.
After Jack Smith died on September 29th, 1989, his friends were asked about the value of his work. They said it was worthless and priceless. Worthless as fragments on the art market that showed no interest back then, priceless as the archive of a man and a time. If the current court ruling holds, the market may have a chance to revise its judgment. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.
To see some of Jack Smith's work and stills from his film Flaming Creatures, you can go to our website, npr.org. Our program is directed by Carlene Watson, edited by Steve Drummond, and produced by Graham Smith. The technical director is Michael Cullen. Librarians include Rob Robinson, Kim Oleski, Alphonse Venn, and Ann Moffat. Our executive producer is Christopher Turpin. I'm Robert Siegel. You're listening to All Things Considered from NPR News.